Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. You have tuned in to the Morning Coffee Sunday School Conference, brought to you all by Get 'Em Radio and the Point Christian Fellowship. I am your host and your teacher, Elder Paul McCourt. Today is the first Sunday of December, the last month of 2018. This month we are celebrating the rejoicing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And it is any month, any day of the year is a good day to rejoice over the birth of our Lord and Savior. For how we know how significant that birth is to our lives, even to this day. Today we're going to be coming to you from the book of Isaiah. We're going to start chapter 7. We're going to read all the way down from the first verse all the way to verse number 16. Isaiah verse 1 through 16. And we're going to be coming to you all this morning from the New Living Translation. And the word of God is very, very forthright, and it is wonderful. And I say that because of the fact that it is so dynamic. Before we begin, it grows with you. I've always said it's the only book that is built, structured in chapters and verses, that is utilized for the reading for the people of God, that can stay where you are, wherever you are, or go through any and every journey that you could ever partake. And as you get closer and closer to God, the word will get closer and closer to you. It is a wonderful thing, the word of God. Amen. But as always, before we begin to actually read this word and partake of its meaning and be led by God's discernment, we'll first have a moment of prayer. Lord God, we thank you, as always, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the love that you have shown us each and every day. We thank you for allowing us to see yesterday, coming into a new day that we have never seen. And we rejoice for it. We rejoice for your love, for the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Christ. We ask, Father, that you will allow us to be less as you are always more, that we decrease as you increase, and that you will allow us to be the instrument of your will, and that we can get out of your way. And that every word that comes from my mouth, Father, let it be spoken in truth and in love. We thank you for the technology, the resources that have been brought to fruition throughout the time to allow us to share your word with those that would be willing to hear. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Right. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 1, from the New Living Translation, begin by saying, when Ahaz, the son of Jotham and grandson of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, set out to attack Jerusalem. However, They were unable to carry out their plan. The news had come to the royal court of Judah. Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the people and his people trembled with fear like trees shaking in a storm. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, take your son, Shear-Jashub, and go out to meet King Ahab. You will find him at the end of the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool near the road leading to the field where cloth is washed. Tell him to stop worrying. Tell him he doesn't need to fear the fierce anger of those two burnt-out embers, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah, son of Amaliah. Yes, the kings of Syria and Israel are plotting against him, saying, we'll attack Judah and capture it for ourselves. Then we will install the son of Tabeel as Judah's king. And this is what the sovereign Lord said. This invasion will never happen. It will never take place. Assyria is no stronger than its capital, Damascus, and Damascus is no stronger than its king, Rezin. As for Israel, within 65 years, it will be crushed and completely destroyed. Israel is no stronger than its capital, Samaria. And Samaria is no stronger than his king Pekah, son of Ramallah. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahab. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahab. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I'm going to test the Lord like that. And Isaiah said, listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right, then. Self will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. By the time that child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he will be eating yogurt and honey. For before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted. We're just going to talk about simply God's will versus their plan. Which one do you trust? Which one do you trust? Everybody has plans for someone else's life. Those plans can be positive. Very rarely that they are. Usually they're pretty negative because usually they're there to benefit themselves, the planner, planning, or the plannee. We see it in business. We see it in any and all industries. Somebody makes a plan for another person's life and implements it for the planner's benefit. General Motors, as an example, plans to, or the executive party, CEOs and others, plan to shut down multiple plants, thousands of people, in order to protect the bottom line. And even though in their eyes they are protecting the company as a whole, it is at the sacrifice of many people, not just those who are working for General Motors who will be laid off, but for those who are relying upon those that are working for General Motors who will be laid off. It is a bottleneck or a domino effect, so to speak. When we have people that make plans for our lives in regards to their desires. As I said before, this happens in any and all areas, even in the churches. you would think that the leadership staff of many churches, their plans that they make when it comes to the church would be a benefit to the congregation or the members. But sometimes, yes, and there's those other times when they start to plan to bring in the world, worldly things, in order to increase the volume of membership, the quantity, so to speak. The quality will suffer, but that is a calculated, at least that's what they believe, a calculated risk, or even they may not even have calculated that quality will suffer. But these are the plans that people make. Plan on making, allowing those people of the world, politics, government, entertainment, the areas, these things, and to expand in the house of God. And usually, not always, these go against the will of God. Yeah, but the will of God is manifest in our lives. Yeah, but when we are told of God's will, when it is either directly or indirectly, and it goes against their plans, which one do we trust? Which one do we stand upon? Ahaz, who is now the king of Judah, was told of a plan against his nation. Told that two kings, one Syria and the other of Israel, set out to attack his people. And not only to attack his people, but to then dethrone him and take over his and bring someone else in to take over the land. And as he was sitting down with himself and his family, and as this was spreading like wildfire through the streets of Jerusalem and Judah, as their fear was mounting, God then brought over Isaiah and his son to tell him of God's will, to give him courage and to encourage him, to say that their plans will not oversight or overshadow or overthrow my will. So which one are you going to trust? God's will is absolute. It is of the highest authority. There is no plan that you, me, or any person on this planet could ever make, no matter how well thought out it is, no matter how many people we put into it, no matter what the situation is, that could overshadow or overthrow the will of God, even unto death. Yet as we've read, even though the will of God has been told to the king, his faith is so low that he does not even take the opportunity to accept it. God even gave him an opportunity of a lifetime to say, I will allow you to pick whatever sign you want. Whatever you can think about, what, no matter how crazy it may be, whatever sign, this is what you need for confirmation. Yet there was the catch that your faith has to be firm for you to not only speak the sign, have faith that it will manifest. Because our hearts were weak in faith, strong in fear. God wanted to give him the chance to see, to watch his glory. Yet Ahaz refused, like a lot of us refuse, to accept God's will in our lives, because we believe that the plans of others when it comes to our lives, stronger. And this is when we are subjugating ourselves to our flesh. We are submitting or submissive to the flesh, and the flesh that cannot see it, cannot hear it, flesh that cannot smell it, cannot taste it, cannot touch it, nor can walk upon it. We succumb to that level of quote-unquote faith, which has no strength, no quality. The world will come against you. Yet when God says the world shall not prevail against you, doesn't matter what they're planning, my will is solid and absolute. Do you trust that? Do we trust that? Or are we like, have given an opportunity to see the will of God, to see the glory, to be shown God's power? Of course not. Not when we're doing this by flesh. So then in the end, Isaiah then tells him, okay, first off, you have this, you're messing with people's patience with your lack of faith or your craziness or the foolishness within your mind. You got to even do that to God. You have to exhaust God's patience with your lack of faith. God has said, I will show you whatever your mind can think up. I will bring it to pass. But since you can't really believe that these smoked out kings of Syria and Somalia who talk tough, who are talking big talk about your kingdom, about mine, by people out there attacking. Since you can't believe that when I tell you that it's not going to happen, that their strength is just as strong as the weakness of their kings, because their kings are no match for me. And here's a sign. Virgin will conceive a child. Virgin will not be touched, conceive a child. And when she conceives that child will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. This child will be the representation, the physical representation of me and my place in the lives of every man, woman, and child that will live, that lives now and will live forevermore. Before that child is, time that child is old enough to say, to choose right, reject wrong, will be weaned. And even before that child is even at that point, the lands of these two kings will already be gone. It'll already be done. The will of God, as we said, is absolute. There's no plan that any man, woman, or child, beast, insect, whatever entity you can think of, can outdo God's will. And we have to ask ourselves as we conclude today, we have to ask ourselves, when man's plans come into our lives and God's will is spoken over our lives, Which one do we trust? Which one do you trust? Which one do you stand with? The unlimited will of God, or the limited plans of others? Amen. And as always, as we come to the end, we always offer salvation to any and everyone that listens. Romans 10:9 starts by telling us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel, the one that represents that God is with us, we believe in our hearts, he died and rose again for our sins and for our sakes, we shall be saved. Salvation at that time, at that point, with confessing and believing is guaranteed. It is not easy. People will still make plans for your life, plans to destroy your life, plans to manipulate your life, plans to change it for their benefit. Yes, that won't change. Yet you will know with salvation that God's will for your life will overthrow all their plans. Says your faith has to be firm. You gotta trust him. So this is your opportunity of a lifetime. To trust God's will, to trust it, to have faith in it, to stand by it and stand with it, and even stand for it. Find yourself a church home. Find somewhere that is preaching the word of God, that is not shrouded by the plans of man, but is encompassed in God's will, so that you may know the power of God, the love of God, the grace, the mercy of God, and the will of God in your life. Take this chance of a lifetime. And as always, we thank you all for listening to this message, this December of 2018. Take the time to rejoice for the birth of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rejoice for the will of God in your life. Amen. We are done. So we're going to have, taking off hold or off mute. Pastor Mom, if you're there, it's your time to you can comment.
I'm here. I didn't sleep on you this morning. So
sorry,
thank the Lord. I enjoy what you were saying today. You did a good job. Thank the Lord for you.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Okay. And thank you for everything. You're a good pastor now. Thank God for
that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. We thank you. Is Apostle Kizzy online?
Yes, I'm here. The early 8 o'clock service is a little challenging for us.
I know.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Now, I would suggest, if you will, you can always listen at a later time. I can always just record it, and you can listen if you wish. It would be fine with me. I know it's a little bit difficult. I would suggest that. I appreciate you all coming on. I thank you for that. But please don't think it would. It would even bother me. I mean, I would be fine with that. In fact, I actually thought that's what you all were going to do, is just come in late about 9, 10 o'clock and listen to it. That would be fine. Do that. Don't worry about it. I'll just record it, and then we'll just go from there.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you. And I did listen. I heard some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I agree. It's better to do God's will than to do man's will. If we want God's plan to prevail in our lives, you're right. We have to do God's will for that. We can't do what other people want us to do, even though they have plans for us. I remember in New Jersey, this a friend of mine and I, we were on a team, a ministry team together, and it was a good ministry team. And so the Lord had led him to leave New Jersey, and he had plans for me to take over the ministry when he left. Well, God had plans for me to leave too.
Right.
So it was funny because both of us left at the same time. We had been there for a long time and ministering together. And so God's plans prevailed. Amen.
As they always do. The will of God will prevail over any plan that we have. We just have to know, we just have to remind ourselves who do we trust. And so, I mean, you have that choice. I have to trust man's plan or trust God's will. You see which one comes out in the end. But like I said, I thank you all for waking up on this at this time. Listen to it later, and when you're rested, even if you want to listen to it after the services, you have the opportunity. Okay. Yes, okay. I'm okay with that, most definitely. So, as we end, I thank you all for joining me. I just thank God for just giving us the opportunity, as always, to do this Sunday school service this morning and each and every morning. So, if there's nothing else, let us just have a prayer and then we will dismiss.
Amen.
Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your will. We thank you for your plans for our lives. We thank you for being sovereign, for giving us the opportunity to watch your will be manifested in your glory shine and be shown to each and every person anywhere and everywhere. And we just thank you for loving us enough to sacrifice your Son, the Christ, for our sakes. And even we thank you, even before that moment, before that time, for the birth of the Emmanuel, which showed that you were always with us, and your love is absolute. And may the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost. Let it rest, let it rule, let it abide, henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let every heart say amen. And remember, no worries, only worship. No problems, only praise. No fear, only faith. And no troubles, only trust. Choose God with that password. And with that password is love. God loves you. So do I. All right, have a good rest of the day. Take a little time, get some more rest. We'll see you all again soon.